Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 57. I'm your host, Holly Filmuth, and I am joined this week by Matt Desend.
Hello, hello.
And by a special guest who has been on the show before, but we love having him on anyway, Mike McSurdy.
Surprise, it's me.
It totally worked. Perfect.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How y'all
doing? In your real voice. We're doing great.
We should just have a full-on like podcast using nothing but the Miitomo voice synthesizer.
We could do that if we could. I think we could.
Awesome is not the first word that I would describe that idea as being, but I'm glad you guys are along with this idea.
It would be pretty entertaining.
It would be pretty bad, but why not?
Bad, entertaining. These are other words that I think would maybe fit that.
Your voice matches your actual, your Miitomo voice matches your actual voice pretty well, by the way, Mike.
Yeah, I made sure. I was like, okay, it has to be as deep as possible. And I was like, this is it.
That's what I always thought from when we used to play Monster Hunter with voice chat. And then I put your Mii character in my Tomodachi Life game and just made the voice go just about as low as possible and was like, that's Mike.
It's creepy, some of the Miitomo voices that I've come across. I don't know about you guys, but people have definitely taken advantage of like making some very unique sounding voices on there. And there are voices of demons in Miitomo.
Yes, there are.
There are the voices of nightmares on that sometimes, I swear. Yes. It's terrifying.
Yeah. But I think moving on, we can begin this episode of the podcast. We're going to use our usual structure. We're going to try a little something new with Who's That Pokemon, our brand new section. Of course, we are going to try to make it a little more, what would the word be?
I would say just
doable
kind of
a... for me?
Not necessarily
specifically
doable, but also just a little bit more streamlined, I believe.
Yes, that would be a good way to put it, yes. So we're going to start with that, talk about recent swag, what we've been playing, and end on a feature on our Nintendo mobile games that we would like for the company, along with DNA, to create. So let's dive right into this. Matt, you have a Pokemon ready to go, correct?
I do, and this Pokemon... Okay, so I've been trying to think in my head the best way to kind of do this. I'm going to give you the generation first. I'm going to give you the generation first, and the generation is going to be Gen 2.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the one we're going to... Yeah, these are the ones that are most symbolic or recognizable to me. I'm not going to only stick there, but I'm going to try this one out because I really like the look of this Pokemon.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Mike is back. He's been kind of getting disconnected in and off, or on and off, for the past minute or so. So
the Pokemon is Gen 2.
Okay.
It is a dual type. It is both water and fairy.
Fairy, okay.
And it's Meryl.
Is it Azumarill?
hold on.
Throwing out guesses already.
Hold on. Okay, so what was your guess, Holly?
Meryl.
Not quite. What was your guess?
Mine was Azumarill.
Azumarill is the correct one.
See, if you just give us a little description, we do definitely know the Pokemon.
How is that even possible?
The minute you said water and fairy, because there's only two from Generation 2.
Yeah, they didn't go back and change a lot of previous Pokemon to fairy type once they added that type in Gen 6. And so any previously Gen... Any Pokemon previous to Gen 6 that is a fairy type is going to be fairly easy for us to guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, now that I know that, I could have totally changed it up a little bit.
That's okay. We're trying to prove that a lot of people do recognize Pokemon really easily. So.
And to be honest, that helped me out. I think what we might do in the next future episodes, and once again, listeners, if you have any ideas on how this could be pretty... how this could be better streamlined, because I think this could be a fun game or something that we could do occasionally, if nothing else. I could just give you maybe five traits that I notice, and after those five traits, then you make your guess. Kay. That would be maybe for next times that we do this, we'll do that as well.
If we get that in the generation, I am in pretty good shape, I think. So.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Well, you guys win.
A
winner is you.
A winner is me.
Yes.
Here's a tip for you. If you want us to lose next time, choose a Pokemon from Gen 5 or 6.
That's not going to help.
Not my strong shin. What were you saying, Mike? You're pretty good with those?
I'll win no matter what, yeah.
Generations? Yeah. I just kind of have, just because I've gotten more serious with blogging and such, and I play different games, like I used to play tons of Pokemon, but now I'm not quite as into it, and so I don't know Gen 5 and 6 that well. But that's just me. I think we can move on now, though, to talking about what we have received recently in terms of swag. So we'll start with you, Matt. Anything new this week?
You know, I actually did not pick up anything this week. Last week, I got a Guitar Hero Live. Still playing that. But when it comes to purchasing new games, I haven't got anything, though I am in the middle of possibly getting a GameCube lot of games, about eight or so of them. So that's what I'm kind of hopefully going to be getting. But as of a recent swag, I got nothing this week.
Well, that's okay, because I got a lot of good stuff. But good. We'll start with you, actually, first, Mike.
All right, cool. What have I gotten recently?
It doesn't have to be super recent, since you haven't been good. On the show in a while.
Yeah, right. Well, thankfully, I haven't gotten a lot recently, because I've been so busy with school. But I did get up a new handful of amiibo. I said I was done collecting them, but I'm like, I can't. I have problems. I bought a light blue Yarn Yoshi amiibo. So now I have, or had, all three different colors. The reason I bought the blue one is I had the green one on my keychain, and I had a pink one in the box for like a backup. And I'm walking through Walmart one day because I needed something from Walmart for a project. And all of a sudden, my Yoshi just falls off my keychain. I have no idea where it went.
Oh, no. You left Yoshi behind.
Oh, yeah. Tragedy.
I didn't know he was gone, so I'm back in my truck. I'm like, where's Yoshi? Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
So I had to open up the pink one, put them on my keychain, and I'm like, well, I got to buy the blue one now. So I went to GameStop to pick up Pokken, actually. And while I was there, I saw the light blue Yoshi amiibo on there and the Roy and Ryu amiibo. Amiibo.
My new nickname for amiibos.
Amiibo.
A group of amiibo is called an amiibo. This is now
That's
a thing.
Good.
Nintendo.
I'm down
Let's
with
go.
That.
So yeah, I got the light blue, the Roy, and the Ryu amiibo. And
I love the Ryu. Am I right? Like the detail
Ryu,
on the Ryu is amazing.
Ryu is pretty well designed, actually. I like that. I also picked up a Lucario amiibo because I saw him lying around, and I'm like, oh, he's not Toys R Us exclusive anymore, and I'll just pick him up real quick. So I'm trying to be done now with collecting them, but I'm sure when Cloud and Bayonetta and all them get amiibos, I'll be picking them up as well.
Cloud, I am very excited for. Cannot wait to pick that one up.
Oh, yeah. I know you are. We've had this whole discussion before.
Yeah.
So I actually any other recent swag, actually, before we move on?
No, you can take this one all. You got it.
All right. So I actually kind of was trying to choose at GameStop the other day between a Roy amiibo and a Ryu amiibo. Sorta. I mean, I guess there really wasn't ever any competition, because I wanted Roy to begin with, and I ended up getting Roy, so I got a Roy as amiibo as well. Surprising, I know, because he's not quite as buff as Ryu, but I do love my Fire Emblem characters.
But
and
hey,
I actually,
Roy's our boy, man. Roy's our boy.
Yeah, and for once, I actually bought this amiibo based on the fact that I can use it in Fire Emblem Fates. So for once, someone on the planet bought an amiibo based on the usage in the video game that it could be of. So that was why I got that.
What are
mostly.
You able to do with the amiibo in Fire Emblem Fates? Because I am not aware of their what you do with them.
Well, under My Castle mode, you can scan an amiibo in. You have to choose the option first to scan an amiibo. You scan an amiibo in, that character comes to visit your My Castle and is all surprised, like, how did I end up here? And then they give you a gift, and then they leave. But you can scan them in again, they'll give you another gift, and then they leave again. Finally, you scan them in the third time, and you can actually do battle with them. And if you win against them, then you can recruit that character to your army.
That's pretty cool. Wasn't it SteamWorld, or not SteamWorld, but Codename Steam, where if you scanned in a Fire Emblem amiibo, then you could play as them in that mission?
Yeah, so, and I own that game, although I haven't really played it. So one day I'll play that game and I'll be able to use these amiibos in that game as well. So yeah, Intelligent Systems games have actually done an okay job in terms of amiibo use.
Good for them. Actually, that reminds me, speaking of, like, functionality in games, when Star Fox Zero comes out and I pick that up, I might have to cave and get a Falco amiibo, because apparently when you scan that into the game, you get a black R-Wing.
Black R-Wing.
And that sounds really dope. And like, it's like it takes like double damage, but it does like double attack or something like that. So that sounds like a good challenge for me. I'm gonna pick that up.
Yeah, I saw the feature trailer for Star Fox Zero as well, and saw that and thought, like, maybe I should get one of those Star Fox amiibos.
What amiibo do I have to use to get online multiplayer for Star Fox?
I'm
afraid I don't have an answer for that. Sorry.
No. Nothing I can do to do that.
Was the multiplayer mode in Star Fox 64 3D, was that online capable?
No. It was not. Nope.
Oh, okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
It was.
I would have bought it if it was.
It was even worse that it wasn't online supported. Was the fact that you could use the 3DS camera. So while you're playing against the person that's basically sitting right across from you, there's also a camera on their face.
I was thinking, like, what's the point of that?
The point was just local play. The point was so that you didn't have to look up at your friend. You could just keep looking down at your screen, you know, to see their reaction. I guess it was a really,
like, there isn't enough of that in our world to begin with cell phones and all, you know.
I do totally want Star Fox for the Fox amiibo just to play as the classic Arwing, because that's pretty awesome.
I'm tempted as well, but we shall see. I mean, I was tempted to get both Roy and Ryu at GameStop.
We saw how that turned out.
Instead I actually opted for Chibi Robo Ziplash with the amiibo, so I got that game and the amiibo for $20. Didn't seem like too bad a deal.
Oh yeah, I would have picked that up for $20.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, amiibos are $13, and it's a good amiibo. I really like it. It's unique, and so, you know, $13 for the amiibo basically means I spent $7 for the game. So I'm gonna give that a try eventually. I also actually got a copy of Uncharted 3. For those of you who think I'm just straight Nintendo fangirl, I do have a PlayStation 3, and I'm going to try the Uncharted series one of these days, but I got Uncharted 3 for a pretty good price.
I love the third one. It's so good.
The third one?
Yeah, the multiplayer is so much fun. Me and my buddy will play that offline, like the co-op campaign or like the random shooting matches. It's so fun.
Oh, I'll have to get another PlayStation 3 controller, because I do like multiplayer games.
Word of advice, when you play that game and you get to the people with the helmets, you have to knock the helmets off before you can kill them.
Okay, I'll try to keep that in mind.
I learned that the hard way.
What's the hard way? Just dying like 15 times before you finally figured it out? Or
17.
Okay.
That's never never the fun way.
No, yeah. Never.
True. Also, and this isn't very video game related, but I got a poster for Star Wars Episode 7, kind of like the movie poster, but I got it from Disney Movie Rewards, so that's pretty cool too.
I never heard. Were you a fan of the movie, Holly? I know that you and Bradley did like a spoiler cast on the end of one of the episodes, but I hadn't seen it yet, so I didn't listen to the last part of that podcast, so I didn't get to hear you guys kind of go back and forth, but you were a fan?
That's true. I'm a huge fan. I think I've seen it 8 times now.
What?
Jesus Christ, wow. Holly.
I had no idea you're that big. Are you a Star Wars fan in general, or was this movie just that good? Or
loved Star Wars when I was little. Me and my friends, we'd pick up sticks and swing them at each other and pretend they were lightsabers. And
I am learning that series. I am learning something brand new about my co-host today. I did not know your love for Star Wars was this strong.
No, I didn't know it ran so deep.
The Force is strong with you.
The new movie, I hope so. The new movie, though, I think is great. I don't care what anybody else says. I think it's great.
Are you interested for Rogue One later on this year, Holly?
A little bit. I'm not sure what it is. Like, how long is it? Is it like a mini movie?
Or no, it's a full length. It's a full length film. It's between. Oh my goodness. It's between 3 and 4. It's like how the Rebels got the Death Star plans, pretty much.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely interested, partially because, and I don't remember her name, but I think the main character in that she's played by an actress that I'm actually kind of a fan of.
Oh, well, there you go.
And this is another probably kind of odd thing about me, but I do like my British period dramas and things like that, and she played in an adaptation of Felicity Jones is her name. She was in an adaptation of Northanger Abbey that I really like, and now she's in a Star Wars movie, spin-off movie, so weird things happen in Hollywood, but
worlds collide.
Yep. All right, I think we can move on now to what we have been playing. Anything of note on your end, Matt?
The only thing that I've been playing is more of Guitar Hero Live. Actually, I decided to kind of really dive deep into it and play a couple of the set lists, mess around a lot more with the online. And I can tell you that it is a fun game. It's an adequate game. It's a enjoyable game. But I am in a different life and position that I was when the original Guitar Heroes came out. I have many more smaller children compared to what I used to. I don't have my friends over at my house in the evening as often as I used to. You know, my party structure is not the same that it used to be and stuff. And I don't also blare the music loudly at night because, like I said,
everyone's
I have small
asleep.
Children sleeping. Yeah. So the game's a lot of fun and it's well made. It's I could give lots and lots of praise for it, but at the end of the day, it's not a game that was made for me in this place in my life. I'm going to keep playing it off and on. When my younger brother comes and hangs out with me, I'm going to have him come and try it for a while. I think he's going to enjoy it. And I will say overall though, the controller, how they changed it up, I do 110% applaud them and I love what they did. The fact that there's three buttons on top, three buttons on bottom, and the different positions in which you move your fingers are just, it makes the game feel so different. You know, when it comes to graphics, it's easy to tell like one generation to another generation, like, oh, okay, so that is next gen. But sometimes when it comes to like gameplay mechanics, it's not so easily understandable. You're like, oh, well, why is this one so different from the last one? It's like, well, you know, if you push this button, this happens a little differently. This is a next gen version of Guitar Hero, and that's something that I think is really interesting. And the game plays really well. It's just not set up, or it's not conducive to my lifestyle at the moment to really dig into it much more than I've already dug into it.
Very Do you nice. Have two controllers for it, out of curiosity?
I don't. I only have the one that came with it.
Okay, does it has multiplayer capabilities though, right?
You know, to be honest, I don't know if it does. I think it does. I want to say it does for sure. Yeah, it does, because I remember going to Free Play and it said plug in another controller. But you
can
also
choose between guitar and bass, because I used to just love playing bass guitar mostly.
I'm not sure if you can. I'm not sure.
In the free play, I only saw an option to do guitar, and then you can also do vocals as well, which if you're a rock star like me, then you like play with guitar and vocals at the same time, because yeah, that's what I do. but yeah, it was
Do you
fun.
Even have like a what do they call it? It's not really a tripod. It's just a stand for a microphone. Do you even have one of those?
Yeah, I got a boom stand and everything. I have
fancy.
I take my stuff kind of seriously. No, I'm kidding.
He's kind of a big deal around these parts.
I mean, people know my name. it's a lot of fun. I totally dig it. And if you are interested, like if anybody listening is interested in the new Guitar Hero, but they're like, I don't know, it's so, you know, yesterday's news. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think the set list is pretty cool too, to be honest. I dig that kind of music where it's like, it's kind of alternative rock, but then it's also kind of pop music. Like, it's fun to play, and that's all I care about. And they chose a pretty good amount of songs that feel indie and pop and alternative rock. And then also the music video, when you go online to do Guitar Hero TV, you can literally sit there and just let every song keep coming up and coming up and coming up. And that's just kind of fun. I think that they do a lot of the right thing with this game. But yeah, just for me personally, it's not something that I can devote a ton of time to.
Yeah, if I had the funds, I might just get it. And, you know, the ability to get a second plastic guitar for cheap, then that might just be a no-brainer. But we will see. Anything interesting on your end, Mike? You can always try to convince me that Pokken Tournament is worth $60, if you'd like.
Okay, I will.
Or maybe not.
It's definitely worth the money. I've been playing it. I've been trying to write a review for it for Nintendo Fever, but my life keeps popping up. Let me tell you right now, are you more of a Tekken player or a Street Fighter player, or do you not play fighting games outside of Smash Brothers?
Outside of Smash Brothers, not a whole lot.
Okay,
I used to play Street Fighter with my family, but...
Okay, this game is definitely way more on the Tekken side for obvious reasons, but I'll see if I can summarize my review. The graphics are great, the characters look awesome, the backgrounds look like hand painted crap. It's not very detailed.
really? Sure, that's unexpected.
I'm sure the arcade game looks a lot better in the background, but like there's Pokemon in the background of every battle, like doing like random stuff like fitting to the theme. Half the time they're like 2D like cutouts that just move up and down in one direction.
Oh yikes!
And it's annoying because like they show you like a map of the level like beforehand, like oh this is what the level looks like, and in the one level they focus on a Wobbuffet being held up by balloons. And it moves up and down, and you can see how jagged the cutout is of the Wobbuffet. And I'm like, why'd you even try?
I'll say. Mario Kart.
Oh my god.
Crowds.
Aside from that, the game is wonderful. I've had a lot of fun like getting into like the whole competitive side of it. I'm trying to learn how to get good as like competitive like players say. Like I'm not very good at the game yet. But it's fun to play around in, like, on the different styles. There's, like, normal, not beginners, but, like, a basic, like, general overall fighting style. There's technical, which is more, like, range attacks and more, like, aerial moves and skillful kind of things you can do. And then there's just full-on power and then speed. With speed is just, you know, you're quick as hell. And you're, like, Lucario is not Lucario. Weavile is fast. Who else is fast in that game? I don't remember.
These words are actually applied to the fighters themselves. Isn't that right? Because
there's four styles. Demo. There's standard, technical, speed, and
for a minute,
power.
I thought these were just the way that people play the game.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
If that didn't come out clear,
I'm sorry. But no, these Pokemon are all different thematics. You don't have to, if you're big on unlocking things that are like key to the game, like new characters and new stages, there's only two characters you have to unlock, and they're both Mewtwo. Spoilers, I'm sorry. You do unlock stages as you play in them, so you don't actually have to go, like, oh, you unlocked a new stage, way to go. So that kind of bums me out, because I like how Smash Bros. Still does it. Like, in the old school style of fighting games, you have to unlock new characters, you have to unlock new places to go.
Yeah.
You do unlock new, like, support Pokemon, which are, like, your literally support. You call them in, they do an attack, they go away. You play the demo, so you know what it's like.
Yeah. But,
is there online play in the demo? Like, can you play, like, multiplayer at all, or is it just single player?
I don't think so. I don't even think there's a local multiplayer mode in the demo, which probably might have convinced me just because I could have had one of my siblings play with me and see how it actually works against human fighters. Because that's a huge thing. I mean, I've been playing Soul Calibur 2, and playing that just, like, in the arcade mode where I basically beat the whole thing by mashing A... Yeah. That was like, oh, this game is okay. Then playing with a friend, though, that is when I realized, like, this game's pretty good.
Yeah, it opens up a whole new level. For local multiplayer, you do need a gamepad, and then any other controller you want, except for the GameCube controller, because Nintendo doesn't want to remember they have a GameCube adapter anymore. But I digress. Nintendo loves making $20 attachments that you only use one time, but I digress.
Nintendo being Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, you can spend $20 more and get the Pokken Tournament Fight Pad for $20 only used for this game.
Actually something that I wanted to ask about, sort of. When I play the demo, movement isn't... It's digital as opposed to analog. Is that how you say it? Like, movement is basically just, directional. You can kind of go side to side. That's one of the things that I had with the demo, is that playing with, like, the control stick, I don't feel like it's very fluid, and I can't move around as freely as I like because it is kind of directional. You can go side to side and up and down type thing.
Kind of, yeah. Like, in the field phase, like the 3D battle mode, you can kind of get, like, a better range, but it is kind of, like, locked into, like, forward, back, up and down a little. Mm-hmm. You do have a bit of like diagonal range to it, but mostly I just jump around. I jump and I do jump attack, so I move automatically anyway, so I don't know. I'm more of an aerial fighter, just like I am in Smash Brothers. But the local multiplayer, you do need a gamepad. It will cut the frame rate to 30 frames per second, but unless you're like a big frame buff, like, oh my god, I need to have like full 60 frames, it doesn't cut into the game at all. It's still cool. You still have fun. Everything still functions properly. If you have a LAN cable, you can do LAN players. If you have more than one Wii U and more than one TV, and that'll stay at 60 frames per second. The reason
that's because this is a competitive fighter.
Yeah, exactly. On Nintendo, actually, like, pop that in.
That's surprising.
Like, Yeah, I was going to write an article about that a while ago. Like, Nintendo's starting to open up to competitive gameplay. I feel like with Smash Brothers and, like, Pokemon and Hoken now, like, they're starting to realize, oh, this is a whole field of games that we can open up and, like attract to. It's a whole new crowd we can, like, put games out to if we actually, like, try to do things for them, like, put in a LAN cable adapter. With the LAN cable, there's a hidden mode for it. It's not right on the main screen, but if you have a LAN cable, do some button inputs, put your LAN cable in, have two TVs, two games, two setups, and then you're good. 60 frames per second, it's all cool. That's not really a big relevant. The story is bland until...
like nothing?
It's Pokemon. There's no story until, like, second half of the game, and all of a sudden, oh, there's, like, this hidden underlying plot. But
and it's pretty good, would you say?
For what it is, it's good. You're going through this whole league like Pokemon normally does. You go through this whole league of fighting Pokemon, and at the end of every like big championship, you fight Shadow Mewtwo, who's like this like renegade like evil Pokemon. And then after you beat a certain you cannot win for the first like couple rounds you fight him. He is like overpowered. He is like not infinite HP, but like unlimited power. He'll knock you out right away. You get to a certain point in the game, he becomes beatable, and you have to beat him to go forward. And then this whole other world opens up, like, oh, this is what happens. Why is Mewtwo so bad? Here's a backstory. There's this darkness going around. It captured him. Blah blah blah. And it's like, oh, okay. Where did this come from? Because I had to delete half my review because I'm like, oh, the story in this game is super bland. There's nothing to it. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh. Okay, here's a story. Just delete, delete, delete. Here's a story. You know, there's a plot. There's a plot. If you like plot, there's a plot. But it's not like it's Pokemon. You don't play Pokemon for the big, ravishing, relishing plot. You play Pokemon for Pokemon. So yeah. You will be satiated in that aspect. The Pokemon will satiate you in that way. Just give it a try. If you can find it a cheaper used copy, get it. I'll put it online with you. I will show you it's worth playing, and it's fun.
That's where
you can customize your character too, Holly. I know you're all about that customization and stuff. So you can customize your avatar. You can buy all this new stuff. I have this.
Wait, am I like that? Here's an example of why I think I might not quite be like that.
Okay, go ahead.
I use the default Corrin in Fire Emblem Fates, but that's mostly because Corrin ended up in Smash Brothers, and so I feel like Corrin should be a character in the game. Corrin, if it was just Holly and an avatar.
Corrin is not you. Corrin is Corrin. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. The more games that go along, the less I like this customizable avatar stuff for
certain
games,
like,
anyway.
When you played Xenoblade, did you not customize your character to look like you your first time around?
I did, but I hated it. I hated the voice actress that I chose, and I haven't found a voice actress that I actually like, and so my main playthrough of that game was actually as a male avatar. I just kind of...
Okay, well, let me look at it this way. We both play Monster Hunter together, and we hunt these monsters to unlock new parts from the monster to make armor that looks like that monster. It is basically a character customization game in itself. So, like, if you enjoy doing that in Monster Hunter, which I know you do because you spent hours and hours hunting Zenogre with me to get that Zenogre armor. So, I know you like a bit of customization, so that is there. There's plenty of that if you want to get into that. So, Pokken Tournament is worth getting. Get it used, find it some cheap somewhere, and just play it. And play online with me, and it's good.
That's definitely right. Where I'm standing on is waiting for a price drop and finding it cheap, just because I do enjoy Tekken, and I have Tekken Tag, and I do enjoy the Pokemon kind of crossover that they're doing with this, and I think it looks like a fun game. I've downloaded the demo. I have not played the demo, so I'm going to give that a shot, but there's nothing about this that screams interesting to me. The game itself I know will be fun and good to play, but there's nothing about it that I look at. I'm just like, this game is a game that I want to spend time playing.
A lot of games aren't worth a price tag anymore. Like, that's just how I personally feel, like, as a man who's, like, starting to grow up and get a job on his own and have to pay for other things. I cannot afford to keep spending $60 every other week buying new games. Like, if they're cheaper, absolutely.
That's why we're Nintendo fans, because then we only have to buy one every 3 months.
This is why I bought a PS4, so I can get free games every month, even though they're not always the best games in the world, but...
they're entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, well, my backlog is so huge, I don't really need... I try not to buy games
exactly.
in Trek.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. I know that. Yep.
That's... There's already so much to play
my
anyway.
My backlog is so vast now. One more word on Pokken. If you do get Pokken and you do play it, either mute the voice acting or turn to the Japanese, because the English voice acting abysmal. It is absolutely terrible.
It sounded horrible from the demo, just that irritating woman who's always
Yeah, and
you're doing great.
Yeah, and
oh
the more
my
you
gosh,
play,
she sounds horrid.
The more you find out the person who acted her, like, I don't know if she was bad or if the people who recorded her sound was bad, but like there's random cuts off and like random like weird accentuations and weird emphasis on things. Like there's this one phrase she says all the time for me, like, "Oh, come on, Weavile, use Psych Up," which is a Pokemon move. She's like, "Oh, use Psych Up," and like the ending word of that sentence, "Up." So she's like emphasizing the word "up," like there's a half a sentence left, but you don't hear it, like. It bothers me as like a vocal person and like a grammar person. I don't like that. So Japanese is all.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Lots to keep in mind for me today. I am still remembering that in Uncharted 3, I have to take off the helmets of those bad guys.
Yes.
Yes. Write it down.
Anyway, I'm gonna see how well my memory holds up there. As far as what I've been playing though, and talking about accessories that Nintendo puts out there
once.
For like. One or two games. I've been playing Link's Crossbow Training due to the fact that I beat Twilight Princess HD. Yes, I am playing that. Partly because it is the 30th anniversary of Zelda and I want to play all the Zelda spin-offs and games and even just games that Link appears in.
Oh yeah,
as
that's
possible,
right. It is the 30th anniversary.
Which is why I've been playing Soul Calibur 2. And so Link's Crossbow Training, most of you may know already, but it is an arcade first-person shooter game that came packed with the Wii Zapper back in the day, and that's the accessory that I was referring to. I don't know if Nintendo actually made any other games compatible with that.
Well,
did they?
Well,
to be fair,
there are some games that
not
other developers... True.
Yeah.
But there were some developers, like I believe it might have been Dead Space did it. Like, there was a couple of first-person games that...
Medal of Honor Heroes
Medal of
2
Honor...
is a game that we actually got just because I was like, I need to find another game that'll work with this Zapper, otherwise it'll feel kind of pointless.
Yep, and they created modes in those games that said, are you using the Wii Zapper? So, even though I don't think Nintendo ever did anything that was saying, like, this is for this accessory, there were a couple of developers that at least tried to do that.
Yeah. I didn't play much of Medal of Honor, but Link's Crossbow Training is okay. It's pretty bare bones. You just go through stages and try to go for a high score, try to beat your previous high score, earn medals. You can earn bronze, silver, gold, or I think platinum. I haven't played it a whole lot recently, but I haven't gotten to a point where I've gotten a platinum medal, but I'm sure it's possible. And I basically just wanted to play it partly, like I say, because of the Zelda series 30th anniversary. Also partly because I kind of wanted to have a comparison. I didn't want to play Twilight Princess all over again, like my Wii copy of that. So I thought I'll just try out Link's Crossbow Training and use that as kind of a comparison. And as expected, the original Twilight Princess graphics, as they are in Link's Crossbow Training, are pretty fuzzy, of course, compared to Twilight Princess HD. However, Twilight, I don't know, this has made me kind of realize that Twilight Princess HD still has weird problems. It still has these weird boxy models, like when Link uses the claw shot, for example, his arm looks like a rectangular cardboard box. And there are also some other weird, what's the word we always use, like sharp-edged
yes.
environments in Twilight Princess HD as well. So they didn't, that was probably the biggest problem. Well, one of the biggest problems with the original Twilight Princess is just the world didn't look very organic because of those sharp edges to things like mountains and cliffs and such. And it's still a problem in Twilight Princess HD because basically all they did was sharpen the graphics, yeah, and also change, upgrade a lot of the textures as well.
That's why I didn't buy that game, actually. I did enjoy Twilight Princess. I thought it was like a very enormous Zelda game. Like, I wasn't big on Zelda when it first came out, but I played it and I'm like, oh, this is a cool game. This stuff too. But like, I didn't like how it looked. I didn't like how like some of the things like looked in the game. And when it showed the trailer off for like in that one Nintendo Direct, I'm like, oh, cool, Twilight Princess. It looks like the exact same game. Just they tightened up some things and there's actual grass now instead of a random watercolor painting that Link walks on.
Yeah.
I mean, would you recommend getting it as someone who kind of enjoyed Twilight Princess but doesn't want to like waste a lot of money on it? If I can find a used copy, do you think it would be worth putting your hours in?
I do, because I enjoyed Legend of Zelda and all that kind of stuff just from being a Nintendo fan, and I did buy it for the Wii when it first came out originally, and I really did enjoy playing what I played of it. But then once the HD came out, and even though I am completely against the fact that they even call it an HD remake, because it's such a small, very, very small amount of them giving an effort to it, which is very sad, but at the same time it's understandable and I get that. But it just feels very lazy from the terms of style or the look of the game. But the game plays great. The dungeons are fun. The puzzles are interesting. The overall art style is gorgeous. It's sad that this isn't being given a full treatment that I think it deserves, because the game itself is worth playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at women... I'm sorry, go ahead, Holly.
Sure. I actually... I wanted to get this game, like I say, the series 30th anniversary. I wanted to experience it again, and I thought that this was basically just a good excuse to do so. Plus, I really wanted the Wolf Link amiibo. If you're not that interested... Yeah, it is, actually. If you're not that interested, though, in replaying Twilight Princess, I don't know. I don't think that it's necessarily worth it. But man, that Wolf Link amiibo is pretty awesome. I actually never tried using that Wolf Link amiibo, though. The new Cave of Ordeals.
Yeah,
mine is still in its box. My amiibo is still in its box. I don't actually see myself needing to play through the extra content personally. And also, I just think it's a very cool amiibo, and I'm not keeping it in the box because I think like, oh, it's going to keep value of some kind. Honestly, I took the game out and I kept the amiibo in the box, and I just have never taken it out of the box. Like, I'm lazy. I'm a lazy man. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, if they made a standalone release of the Wolf Link amiibo, I might have to cave in and buy one more. But I'm happy it's in the bundle, because I don't want the bundle or the amiibo. So
I don't have to worry about getting it.
It's not like you have to get this game. It's such a huge upgrade from the original.
Yeah.
So honestly, yeah, I'd say unless you really want this great excuse to play Twilight Princess again and you want to kind of gawk at the new textures that they put in there, then don't bother really. Although the Temple of Time, I think that's pretty much what the, let's see, which dungeon is that? Like the second to last, I think, dungeon, the Temple of Time. That place is gorgeous in HD. It's just a nice, smooth, elegantly designed dungeon that I think actually really shines in HD. And so I don't necessarily think it's like, Nintendo, you really shouldn't have given this the name Twilight Princess HD. I think Twilight Princess HD is a pretty apt name for it, just because it is Twilight Princess in HD. They didn't call it Twilight Princess Remastered. So I think Twilight Princess HD is actually a pretty appropriate name for that, and I do think the difference is pretty clear when you compare the two, but...
Well, when you have Wind Waker HD that came out like 2 years ago now, compared to Twilight Princess HD, I don't think it deserves the HD title, but that's just me. Whatever. But one last note on Zelda real quick. You keep talking about the anniversary. Did any of you get a chance to play the 3D Legend of Zelda remake that came online for a couple of days before it got taken down by Nintendo?
No, but nope. I didn't hear about it until after it got taken down. I would have liked to have looked at it. Yeah, basically, did you try it?
I did not. I was going to, but then Nintendo struck it down. Basically what it was, if no one knows, someone took the original NES Legend of Zelda and made like a 3D, like a whole 3D remake of it, like a whole new perspective, like a whole, everything was 3D. It only had like the first three levels completed, like the first three dungeons. But this is like as like a tech demo of what it could have been. It looked pretty cool, and like it was a cool way for like them to like honor Zelda for this monumentous anniversary. But Nintendo
should have taken the right avenues then. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but still, but like they're not making a profit off of it.
I agree with both sides of the story. Like, here's the problem that I see when people kind of complain about Nintendo taking something down. In that regard, the problem is Nintendo created, owns, and still uses those assets. It's not like taking a property nobody knows about anymore and just like making something new of it. But like
Star Tropics,
Nintendo still sells The Legend of Zelda, both on the Wii U, on the 3DS, like, they're still trying to generate money. So to put something out there, even as a tech demo, which I think is a cool thing, the problem that I see with what they did is that they were going to remake the whole game. They were planning on putting the whole thing on online for free. Like, and that's where you draw issue. Like, it'd be one thing to, like, say, like, we're going to take one dungeon and we're going to make that in 3D and we're going to let people come over and experience it. But basically, they're putting a ROM online, which is illegal. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer of any kind, but, like, they were trying to give the game away for free.
No, you're absolutely right, and I agree with both of you on that, as well as seeing, like, the other perspective of it. My only gripe about that is, like, Nintendo has the all authority to do that, and I do not blame them for doing it, but, like, if you're gonna take down, like, a salute to your games franchise for an anniversary, at least give us something for the anniversary, you know? Like, Nintendo has what happened to Metroid on its 25th anniversary? Nintendo did nothing. Zelda's been having that symphony concert for the last 5 years, and that's still going. So if Nintendo wants to say, "Oh, we have this concert for anniversary," no, that's not fair. Give us something else. If you're gonna miss a big, like, benchmark anniversary like that, that would be kind of shady. But that's just my opinion. I'm big on anniversaries and birthdays and stuff, so I feel like that would be a cool thing to do for Nintendo, to, like, give us something if they're gonna take something away. But that's whatever.
Well, I don't know, we're getting a new Zelda this year,
maybe. Well, hopefully if
maybe
it comes out.
Yeah. I think Nintendo can't get away without releasing it, unless they decide to celebrate the 30th anniversary, quote unquote, next year, because next year is the 30th anniversary of Zelda in the US, and I think Nintendo could easily do that if they decide, like, okay, I think we need to postpone this game release yet again.
And I think that's part of why we haven't heard a 30th anniversary chiming yet for that.
Nintendo's making this summer, like, a Legend of Zelda summer, kind of. It's like this Play Nintendo thing, which no adult goes to Play Nintendo, as far as I can tell.
No, I don't.
I don't.
I didn't know it was a thing until right now.
Yeah, like Camp Zelda or something like that, where, I don't know, there may be discounts and things on, you know, virtual console Zelda games and such. So that's sort of a thing. But at the same time, I think Nintendo could also announce it at E3. And maybe the new Zelda game is further along than we think. And I think Nintendo would be wise to make Zelda into a huge deal at E3. And I think, especially considering how quiet they've been on the new game, it could be huge. Yeah. If they've made a ton of progress and they're like, yes, this is coming out this year, take a look.
On the Wii U, not the NX, not the NX, it's on the Wii U.
I would actually like that, either Wii U exclusive or NX exclusive. I don't want another Twilight Princess situation where it's on the Wii U and NX, because that way it won't feel like it was really, I don't know, taking advantage of
either system,
if that makes any sense. It just spread too thin, I guess, but I think we can move on now after our little Zelda talk there to our feature today on what types of mobile games we wish Nintendo would make. I have to start this with a little disclaimer. I am fairly new to the smart device scene. I just got my nice smartphone that Matt, actually, I'm not sure if I ever mentioned this on the podcast. It should have been recent swag, because this has been kind of this ongoing thing. Matt actually recommended a good smartphone to me to replace my first smartphone, which didn't have a lot of internal storage. And I've been really enjoying it, using it for Miitomo, of course. But like I say, I'm kind of new to this whole scene, and so I don't really know what types of games are possible or have worked well on smart devices when you just have the touch screen. So I'm not sure if I have much to contribute to this conversation, but what types of games have worked, like, what types of game genres have worked on touchscreens before, and how would we like to see those genres kind of mix with Nintendo IPs?
Well, on our list, we have Nintendo mobile games wish list, and basically you wrote down franchise names like Mario, Zelda, Animal Crossing, Donkey Kong, Kirby, others, and I don't think that I want to see any true to light Mario game or any true to you know, the way that they exactly play Zelda game. Animal Crossing possibly, because the way that a cell phone benefits you most in gaming, in my opinion, are games that rely on you checking back in with them, such as Miitomo. Miitomo is kind of an exception as of right now because there's not much of a game. It's more of a social aspect to it. But one of the games that I play very heavily right now on my cell phone is a game called Clash Royale. Now, the way it works is it's a tower defense style game where you're trying to attack the other side's towers. To do this, you lay down troops. You can only lay down troops if you have enough elixir for them. The elixir recharges from 0 to 10. Let's say I want to lay down a giant who's like a tank who takes a lot of damage. You lay him down, he takes 5 elixir. Now, if I'm at 10, that means it takes out 5 and I have 5 left. Now I want to put something behind him that can attack the tower while the tank is moving, as you would with a lot of other style of games that are on the market today. So after I do these couple of moves and I expend my elixir, the elixir then starts to refill up. Each match only takes
Very slowly, probably.
Not super slowly. It's like a normal cooldown type thing. And the match only takes you around 3 minutes. Now, after, if you win the match, you get a treasure chest. The treasure chest will either be silver, gold, or giant. If it's silver, it takes 3 hours to unlock. If it's gold, it takes 8 hours to unlock. And if it's giant, then it takes 12 hours to unlock. Now, if you don't want to wait for that, you can
pay some real moolahs.
You can use gems. The only way you can get gems, the only way you can get gems is by spending real money. Now, this is a pretty mild attempt at getting money in a lot of ways. The other things you can do in this game is you can buy your troops, and if you buy troops that you don't already have, then it can cost gold. Gold you can earn, but if you don't have enough gold, you can go and buy gold by using gems. Once again, gems is what you use money for. This
is so convoluted.
It feels convoluted when you hear about it at first, and when you start to get into the minutia of it and realize you don't have to do any of this, it's not a big deal anyways. That's the most important part. Is a good mobile game done right is a game that either sells the game to you immediately or gives you an actual decision if you do or don't want to spend money in the game. It doesn't require you to spend money in the game. That's the worst type of mobile game, is the ones that you hit a wall and it's either you literally can't get better at this game. You can only spend money on this game. That's all you can do anymore, because like Clash of Clans, I was really heavy in Clash of Clans for a long time. I enjoyed it. I played it a lot. But I got to a wall where it doesn't matter how good I am anymore, because it takes such a large amount of gold and elixir in that game that I can't earn it before I get attacked by somebody to actually be able to advance where I'm standing. I have to spend money if I want to kind of further myself in that game. So I've stopped playing that game.
Believe it or not, I think my brother was into that for a while, and he told me basically the same thing, except he worded it more along the lines of, there are crazy people out there who spend hundreds of dollars to just be good at the game without hardly even playing it, because you can spend that real money.
Yep, and that's the kind of mobile game done wrong. Here's what I would like to say, is that there are mobile games that work very well, and I do think Clash of Clans works very well, and the things that I would like Nintendo to do is literally copy what other successful games have done, and I know that sounds terrible, but it's the truth. I would love to have a Zelda-themed Clash of Clans game. That would be awesome. If it was literally Clash of Clans, but everything was set in the Zelda universe, sign me up. I'm good to go. If we had,
I might not pick Zelda for that particular genre, believe it or not. Well, but I'm not sure what I would pick.
Zelda or Fire Emblem, something that's very fantasy driven. Both those games, trust me, if you play that game, fit in that universe very well. Monsters and troops, and same thing with like Hyrule Warriors they did. I mean, it's very much akin to this style of environment. But I mean,
Hyrule Warriors is partially why I wouldn't want to see Zelda in that kind of a genre, but I don't know. I guess I'd have to play it to see.
Because
I did try Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U, and that's how I know that I don't like that type of crossover. Maybe I just don't want to see Zelda crossover with anything or any kind of genre besides what it already is.
Unless it's a crossbow.
Maybe I'm just crazy that way.
Yeah.
That's barely a spinoff.
It
is a spinoff.
Not a
crossover.
Imagine a Mario or a Donkey Kong game that's themed as Angry Birds. I mean, it's just Angry Birds, but everything's Nintendo inspired with Donkey Kong or Kirby. I mean, there's a lot of popular
Kirby
games
perfect
on
perfect for that. It seems to me
it could be. Yeah. Or we could have Mario like jumping over like Donkey Kong barrels and stuff, or Goombas, whatever they want to do with it. I can see that happening.
See, Goombas would be a perfect example of they're the enemy. Yeah, I I don't necessarily want them to like be like, we're going to create this experience that's unlike any other video game that you've ever played on your cell phone. I don't know why they sound so sleazy, but I just,
me neither.
I just want them to take what works very well and just keep doing that. I mean, there's cut the rope with Metroid, you know, then Metroid finally gets a new game. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not sure people would be overly pleased
I'm
with
kidding
that,
about that one. Come at me, bro.
I think Mike is ready.
No, actually, I agree with him. I'm not a big fan of Federation Force, and I didn't like Other M, so I'm with Matt on that one.
Well, I am excited for Federation Force, though.
Oh, I'll play it, but like, it's not going to be a Metroid game to me. It's gonna
well,
be like
it's
a...
called Metroid.
Okay, well, I don't care if it's called Metroid.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Mike has to say whatever he needs to himself to be able to play it in the first place. And if that means saying this is not a Metroid game, I'm just gonna play it like you know, it's any kind of video game.
I agree with you though, Mike, in the sense that I wish they wouldn't have called it Metroid and it was just a new IP, because I think people would be a lot less down on that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah. Think about it. When they showed, the trailer before they called it Metroid Prime Federation Force, before they called it, that Metroid, they're like, oh, cool, they got little robots and stuff shooting things, little aliens.
Yeah, it
looks cool.
Interesting, the little blast space ball.
Yeah, and all of a sudden,
blast ball, that's
and all of a sudden, Metroid Prime. Oh.
honestly, if they would have called it Metroid Federation Force, I feel like it would have been better than Metroid Prime Federation
True,
Force.
True, because now they're like... The
Prime means something a little bit different, and I think that's where a lot of the emotion has come from. But we're getting on a tangent, my bad.
Yeah.
Mobile games, Nintendo's wish list. What would you like to see, Mike? Do you play many games on your cell phone?
Now and then I do. I play a lot of Pokemon Shuffle and stuff. Not like Clash of Clans or anything like that. I don't do a lot of those free games. But what I would like to see would be something kind of original. But we have Animal Crossing on our wish list here, and I think an Animal Crossing
would be really good.
Some kind of free to play, because Animal Crossing has a great social construct to it anyway. You go around, talk to your neighbors, you buy stuff, you make houses and everything, If Happy Home Designer was a mobile game, that would be cool.
Happy Home Designer.
That's a good thing to bring up.
Happy Home Designer is a mobile game. It's just not on anything besides
Matt.
Your
3DS. Okay, Matt. Listen.
Well, no. I'm agreeing with you completely. What I'm saying is, you're totally right. They should have. They should have put that on a phone. That would have been the perfect style of using their branding and their IP. And then putting it on a cell phone. I think you're completely right. That would have been literally a perfect one to use.
Absolutely. Or even just I don't know, whatever I say is pretty much Happy Home Designer now I think about it. Crap.
We're not talking about Amiibo Festival now, are we?
No.
Did we move on to that? Jeez. I lost.
That game won't be good no matter what.
No, you can't put that on anything. No. I fell asleep watching a Let's Play of that. That's how bad it was.
Yikes.
I would like to see something from Kirby, but I can't think of what it could be. Maybe something like a Fruit Ninja, whatever it's called, like that. I think it is called Fruit Ninja. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But with Kirby instead, you have to suck in all the fruit or whatever, because Kirby's all about eating and stuff. I don't know. Like, it's an
endless runner of some kind could work for that.
Yeah, well, we've seen, Sonic the Hedgehog have an endless runner on the phone, and I'm not sure if people actually enjoy playing that or not, so I'm not sure.
I think it did okay.
Played that, believe it or not.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I'm always wrong. I enjoy being wrong, so please correct me. Comments, tweets, concerns, correct me. make me learn. Make me feel better about myself.
I think you're on the exact right track. I think these types of games that are proven for mobile, I think would do really good. I do want to see them do something original. And I think Miitomo is a good indication that they're capable of creating something that feels fresh and different.
The thing with Miitomo is literally you have a peak limit of what you can do per day in that game. It's not like Animal Crossing I bought enough stuff today, or I've sold enough turnips, I've made enough fruit, but I can still keep playing and do stuff. No, literally in Miitomo, you answer enough questions to get your free coins. You get only a certain amount of coins per day, so you can only buy a certain amount of things per day. You can't use candy to buy coins. You have to buy coins with actual money. So I have like 200 candy bars I'm not spending on people's asking questions.
Like, I know. What is... Stop giving me candy bars. I don't need these little candies.
Say. No, because like,
I will say, then, man.
There's people like Holly, you only have like 20 questions answered. So I'm like, oh, I'll just sit here, tap the button real quick and get all her questions answered and not spend any candy. Or I can spend candy and get more coins so I can buy more outfits because all I have right now is a cat suit. I don't want to be a cat anymore. I'm tired of being a cat suit. Nintendo, please.
I want to be a ninja, and that stupid Miitomo drop game, man, it just makes me want to. If it had a neck, I would strangle it.
I hate Miitomo drop.
I just want my ninja headband, darn it.
I did the ninja one. I got the ninja sword right off the bat. I got my katana.
Oh, man. Well, got
it.
For
and then
you.
I never played it again. I'm like, I'm not wasting it. I'll get candy. I don't want any more candy. I am
totally out game tickets and coins right now, trying just to get that
and guess
stupid
what? Like,
headband.
You only get tickets if you level up, or if you happen to fall on a day of the calendar where you get a free ticket. And I was like, oh, I'm level 10 in style soon. If I get level 10, I'll get 10 tickets. No, I got a silver hat. Thanks.
I know, those hats are awesome.
I would pay real money. I'd pay $1 to Nintendo right now for that ninja headband. I just want it, Nintendo, and I can't seem to get it. I hate Miitomo drop. I hate it.
It's fun because like whenever you drop the certain people, they make their actual noise. Like my character, you drop and he's like, or Holly.
I didn't even notice
that. Holly's like, eh.
Are you trying to get the ninja hood? Is that what you're going for?
No, there's a Miitomo drop where you can get kind of more male-style ninja clothes, and then there's a separate one for a much more female-looking ninja costume, and the female one is what I am going for, although I did waste probably over a dozen tickets trying to get the katana first, and then I thought, I'm going to just try to get my lady ninja clothes, is how they're referred to as, like the lady ninja socks or whatever those are.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we've kind of...
At least I have all the cat outfits, because that's all I need. I have all the cat socks, the cat headbands, the cats.
I really wanted that cat on the shoulder, and I got that right away when that was available, so...
Yeah.
That was good. But this has been kind of a bit of a tangent, and I think we're kind of running low on time, so I think, just real quick, we'll move on to our final little discussion point here, which actually doesn't have much to do with Nintendo mobile games, but we got a question from Gentis. I think we can answer pretty briefly. What game, according to your activity log, has the most hours on your 3DS and Wii U? Which game has the most plays? So kind of a double-sided question.
I'll hop in on that one real quick.
Sure.
Because actually mine's not what you would think it would be. Because like you hear me on this podcast. All
so
I
it's
talk...
not Monster Hunter?
No, it's not. It's not Monster Hunter.
It's Pokemon.
It is Pokemon. It's Pokemon X. That has the most time. I've played 557 hours in Pokemon X.
Whoa, okay. Wow.
I have 473 hours in Monster Hunter, though, so I'm getting close. You know,
like a boss.
A couple more nights with Lucas and Holly, and I'll get 500 hours in Monster Hunter.
473? Dang it, that beats my Monster Hunter.
Do you guys ever go through your activity log on the 3DS and delete all of the software icons so that when you
that
do check
like,
your
don't
rankings...
Use or...
Well, no, when you do... So, like, you can... on there is like friends list, so if you've ever clicked on friends list, then it will like keep coming up and it'll keep the same amount of playtime and times played. So if you click on your ranking, even though obviously you don't, I've clicked on like the shop into thing like 100 times or something like that, but obviously I don't care about that stat.
You should. Oh my gosh, real quick, I gotta tell you that technically speaking, the highest thing for frequency, I guess, on my activity log is the friends list.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have touched it 700 times even.
700.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not going to touch it anymore. Just kidding.
My most frequent. Keep it at 700. My most frequent is the internet browser, and it is 4,900 times.
Oh my goodness! But that's said that 700 was a lot. I like friend list stalking people.
I have 160 for play frequency with Nintendo Video.
Nice.
Oh.
But
I used to really like Nintendo Video.
It was cool for a while. But then they started recycling the same videos. Then they just stopped supporting it altogether, and then I got sad. But
I did love that they put... Oh, my gosh. Oh, I got to remember what it is. Cartoon Hangover did that show about these kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Four kids. I don't... What on earth was that called? Because I got way into
Brave,
that show.
Brave something?
Yeah, Brave something.
Oh, that does ring a bell. Oh, we're so sad and pathetic. But I think... So we know from Mike that you're
most played. Most play time.
Pokemon
but
X.
Most played play like, time. Frequently. The play frequently, believe it or not, is Nintendogs.
Nintendogs.
Oh my goodness.
And cats.
Yes, and cats. It's the I haven't played 479 times. And actually, like, Monster Hunter is really low on the list. But like, the reason for that is, like, Nintendogs.
You click on it and then you just play it.
Yeah, you play it, turn it off. Like Monster Hunter and Smash, I play it, I close my 3DS, I do not turn it off, I open it up, I play more Smash, play more Monster Hunter. So it's kind of deceiving. Like, the times are a bit more like predictive of what I really am playing more often. But like Nintendogs, like, oh, I'll play it, turn it off, play it, turn it off. I don't want to play this anymore, turn it off.
Yeah. So what is your Wii U stats? What are your Wii U stats like?
Okay, I have a couple because I have like 4 Miiverse accounts for many reasons. So
oh yes, okay.
So for my first one, my very first account, it is Monster Hunter both times. I have over 1,000 hours and I played it 433 times. On my second account is Wind Waker HD, because I brought it up before. I played it 50 hours and 21 times. My main account, it is Smash, so it has come back around. My Smash side has shown up. I've played it 314 hours and 41 minutes, and I played it 300 times.
Oh, jeez.
And then there's Mario Kart in the corner on my fourth account that I don't play anymore. It's like, oh, 120 hours.
These all kind of beat mine.
Oh, yeah, but, me too. They demolish mine.
Well, mine might even demolish yours too, then, just because,
oh, I'm sure it will.
I have my obsessions. For Wii U, my most played game is Xenoblade Chronicles X, actually, for a total of 240 hours and 41 minutes. On both of the Miiverse accounts that I have used, I created a new user account, I guess you could say. Went over to the dark side, as Mike likes to say, and created a new Miiverse account for my main playthrough of Xenoblade Chronicles. So I combined both of those and got 240 hours. As far as play frequency goes, it's actually Super Smash Bros. On Wii U for me at 172 different plays. For 3DS, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate for playtime at 304 hours, 45 minutes. And it's also Monster Hunter 3 4 Ultimate for frequency as well at 204 plays.
I feel like I probably shouldn't even be a part of this anymore. I should no longer be a part of this podcast, and people are going to be like calling for my head, basically, I feel.
I still want to know what you play the most of, though.
Well, for the 3DS, when it comes to playtime, my number one is Super Smash Brothers at a astonishing
60-something hours?
33 hours and 52 minutes. And then
I thought 60 was being a little bit under.
My most play frequency, which I'm actually surprised about, but I think a lot of that does attest to what Mike was saying about, you know, you just kind of, sometimes with the 3DS especially, you leave whatever you're playing running for a long period of time, and then you just keep opening and closing. No, yeah. It's actually Pokemon Shuffle.
Oh.
Okay, not too surprising.
With 65 times I've played that is what it says.
And sometimes you go look at that and you think, what? That doesn't seem like that much.
That's
how I feel. Like, I've only played Super Smash Bros. 172 separate times.
Well, I was also surprised. I was also shocked about Gunman Clive because I knew it didn't take me very long to beat it. But after I beat it, I decided to go and look like, oh, how long did that take, you know, to beat it? And it was like an hour and 45 minutes. Like, it was no time at all. And I clicked it only like 5 times or something. So, like, I don't know. Time is such a weird thing when you get devoted to something or you just don't notice. And then for my Wii U, my play length is NFL Madden at somewhere around 112 hours, I believe. Right under that is Smash Brothers.
Broke 100 hours with a video game.
Whoa. Right under that is Smash Brothers at like almost 100 hours on the Wii U. And also Mario Kart 8 was also like right under that as well. Because that one, you can't organize it by rankings on that one, correct?
No, you can't.
No, okay. That was another thing that I was possibly going to get into a little bit. We're kind of running out of time, so I won't too much, but the Wii U activity log, not that it's a big deal, but it isn't as fully featured as the 3DS activity log.
Yeah.
I love being able to rank things and compare how often I play games. And speaking of that ranking, on my 3DS, I'm pretty sure Fire Emblem Awakening probably should technically be number one in terms of how long I've played it total. Because there was a point at which I lost all of my 3DS data on one of my 3DS systems.
That happened to me too, actually.
So, can't be 100% accurate, but Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate still is way up there. I'm like I say, if I could get that back, that lost Fire Emblem Awakening time, I'm sure that it would actually be number one for me.
Nice. I just want to say real quick, like, this whole, like, oh, finding out how much I've played, it depresses me, because I went back, I was going through all the games on my Wii U that I've played, like, I was going through the whole month-by-month thing. I was so big on Bayonetta when it came out. I played Bayonetta in the month that it came out in November, and I never touched it again. I played,
I've noticed that a lot, too.
I played Zelda, like, the Wind Waker, big when it first came out, and, like, 2 months later, I never touched it again. Like,
if you want to...
I'm very... If you... Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was like, very few meta games that I've played like have stayed over month and month and month and month. Now it's just like, oh, I was so big on Yoshi's Woolly World when it came out. I played it for a month. Oh, I was so big on Kirby when it came out. I played it for a month. It's kind of upsetting like, how hype we get on games. All of a sudden, they're back on the shelf again right afterwards.
That is fear of backlogs right there.
Yeah, we've got too many games and too little time, as I have said before.
Yeah. So go ahead,
Matt. If you really want to feel depressed about looking at your time spent on your Wii U, don't ever click on your Netflix.
Oh yeah, oh, my God.
Don't ever click your Netflix. Don't ever click your Hulu. Don't ever click your internet browser on that at all. Don't ever do it, or you'll basically want to throw it away and be like, I'm gonna go see what the outside world is like.
Yeah.
So much time.
Yeah, if we were actually counting video apps, then YouTube might have been my top Wii U one. Even over Netflix, I think.
Netflix would be mine.
I'm not 100% sure about that. But yeah, too true. If people could see how much time they spent total on Facebook,
they wouldn't be on Facebook anymore.
They would leave Facebook.
They'd probably just make an update about how much time they've been on Facebook.
Yeah, and, I'll tell people. That's probably true.
And then I would like it. let's get out of here.
Yeah. Just real quick, though, I have to say this. I've told people before, like, oh, yeah, I've played, you know, this game Monster Hunter for over 300 hours now. And they're just like, you're crazy. And I'm like, you know what? If you knew how much time you spent on Facebook total, it's just a gaming thing.
Oh,
we
yeah.
know how much
oh, yeah.
time we log into our games because that's usually a function. But if you knew how much time you spent watching movies on Facebook, it would be a ludicrous number.
And we also like it. We also like to know how much time we did devote to a game or how mm-hmm. quickly it took us to beat it, how long it took us to beat it. Like, we're interested in those kind of stats for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So much for this question being fairly quick to answer. But thank you so much, Gentis. That was a real fun discussion that your question caused for us to have.
And slightly
and we
depressing.
We really appreciate it. A little, yeah. But... mostly for me and Mike, I should think.
Yeah,
I'm still depressed. You know, guys, I try to play video
depressed
games.
Depressed over your over 100 hours of Madden.
Yeah, that should have gone towards something more worth its time.
Here Mike is with over 1,000 hours in Monster Hunter.
I'm looking forward to 1,000 more, honestly.
in Generations, yeah.
Oh,
but,
my God.
Oh, my goodness. We'll get into all of this at a later time, I think.
Yeah.
For now, I think we'll close up the podcast. Just a few little notes at the end of the podcast. One thing that we haven't mentioned in a while is that if you feel so inclined, you can check out the Nintendo Fever podcast on the iTunes store and give us a rating and or a review there. That would help us out quite a bit if you could do that. You can also email us about anything that we've talked about on the podcast, what you think about the podcast, any questions you might have for us to answer in a future show. Email us at podcast@nintendofever.com. We have a lot of great content coming to the website, www.nintendofever.com. So check that out. Start commenting on there. We're looking to kind of expand the kind of content that we have on there. And if you could come support us on the website itself, that'd be great. Mike's review of Pokken Tournament will be coming out eventually, I should hope. So look forward to that.
In the next week, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, so by the time the next episode of the podcast comes out, hopefully our Pokken review will be up. And look forward to other great written content on the site. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow @NintendoFever or myself @HollyFelmuth or Matt.
Dad, only Matt doesn't. You can always find me.
He wasn't listening
on Twitter. I was listening to you. I was moving away from the microphone. Yes, find me on Twitter @OnlyMattDezen. And if you ask me a question, I'll give you a nice long pause before I answer it.
Yep. And you can follow Mike on Twitter
@Mike_the_poet.
All right, so you can get on Twitter and chat with us there. For now, though, thanks so much for listening to episode 57 of the podcast. It's been a real fun time, especially with you, Mike, having you back on.
No, thank you. It's always fun to be back here.
Yep, so thanks again for you listeners for listening in, of course, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.